Man, I loved the Kara and your daughter. That was so good. I just wanted to thank you especially for that, because that was very moving for me. And thank you to everybody who prepared that lunch. It was fabulous, and I loved the conversation. Thank you to those of you that came up and told me your story, or just a brief snippet of it. I heard several just personal connections, which just, I just am so thankful. That's all I am. I'm very thankful that God led me here, and that the Spirit worked in what I had to say. So this last one, walking with Him, walking like Him. There's so many verses about walking with God, and we've seen so many songs about walking with God. In Colossians chapter 1, and y'all can go ahead and turn there, I think we've read this. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9, is where we'll be today. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Will y'all pray with me for just a minute? Father, we come to you again this afternoon just desperate to know you and be with you. Give us a sense of your presence in the times that are that we feel farthest away. Father, I just am so moved by the song. I just want to pray the prayer that they sang earlier. Just let our steps be worship. Let our thoughts be praise. And may our words be bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul's prayer for the church here in Colossians is similar to other prayers he prayed for other churches in Ephesus and Philippi. In Ephesians, it sounds similar if you want to look at it with me. Chapter 1, 15. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. And then again, look over in chapter 3 in Ephesians in verse 14. He has another prayer for the church there. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then look over with me in Philippians chapter 1. in verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So, do you hear the similarities in all those prayers? If we go back to Colossians chapter 1, we're going to kind of stay in that one. He says, we ask God, there in verse 9, to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. And then kind of a colon, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with power so that you may have great endurance and patience. This verse, to me, seems to be constructed right around that phrase, live a life worthy of the Lord. There are things that lead up to that life, and then there is, on the other side, evidence of that life. So kind of consider this structure. You should eat balanced meals, and you should keep an active lifestyle so that you will have physical health. And then you can keep up with your kids and your grandkids and get all of the work done you're supposed to get done. Does that make sense? Kind of there's things that lead up to that, and then there's evidence of that. There's one thing necessary. There's one thing that leads up to live a life worthy of the Lord, and it's that first part. Asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That is the prerequisite of living a life worthy of the Lord. Spiritual wisdom is a phrase that comes up a lot in the Bible. How do you get spiritual wisdom? Look with me at Romans chapter 8. Since that is the prerequisite, I feel like that's pretty important that we look at how do we achieve that. We talked earlier about trial and leading up to spiritual wisdom. So what is spiritual wisdom? In chapter 8, verse 9 of Romans, it says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." What we're talking about here is the behavior of those who have accepted by faith Jesus Christ as their Savior and are thus given the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, that is what makes it possible for us to bear fruit in Christ's name. Spiritual wisdom leads to a walk that pleases God. So, how do we get spiritual wisdom? You accepted Christ and were given it. So we need to kind of wrap our brains around, when I accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit was given to me as a gift. Therefore, the spiritual wisdom is Christ in me. So, man, heavy. How do we do that? WWJD. Examples of Christian behavior are woven all through the scriptures, and we have the perfect example in the life of Christ. Jesus himself spoke about how we are to behave toward others, friends, and enemies. But more than that, just the example that he lived, the stories of his interactions with people should be our perfect template for accessing that Spirit inside of us. The life he lived, accentuated by love and compassion for the lost, provided the perfect example for what Christian behavior should look like. I was reminded of an old hymn. I'm surprised we didn't sing this one, but the one called Oh to Be Like Thee. It was this one verse, Oh to Be Like Thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, and kind. Helping the helpless, seeking the fainting, something, something, wondering sinner to find. But that's the one that I was hearing in my head when I was studying this. There's so many verses about being like Christ. Let's turn to a few. First Peter chapter 2. In verse 21, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. Right at the beginning. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 in verse 29. We could spend all day on these. These are some good ones. Verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. I like that. And then let's look at one more. In John 13, let's look at Jesus himself over here. In John chapter 13, he washes their feet. I'm going to start in verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I want to tell you briefly about my papa. This is my mom's dad. So those of you that heard kind of my backstory last night, this is not the family that experienced a little bit of fame because of a track star uncle in the 50s. This is my mom's family. He was in Korea, in the Korean War, came back, became a police officer in their small town. He is not an orator. He was the best example of someone living out the life of Jesus as I've ever known. He was not an educated man, didn't go to college. I'm not even totally sure that he graduated high school. But he led more people by example to Jesus because of his love and compassion and forgiveness. I wrote a poem about him that sounded, I wrote it about him, then when I read it back, it sounded so much like Jesus. And I thought, man, I hope that whatever people can say about me at the end of my life sounds like my Savior. He died in February after about a four-month battle with cancer. So this next month in November was when we found out he had four tumors on his brain and one in his lung. It was called lung cancer, and I'm not a cancer expert, but the cancer in his lung was the primary source. So anyway, he fought for 4 months, and then we lost him in February. I say we lost him, but I know right where he is. Since I have the podium, I just feel led to let him preach to you for a little bit. So I have a video of an address that he made to his congregation. It was in New Braunfels, which is between Austin and San Antonio. But before we play that one, Kathy, let's play the other one, the shorter one. This is my niece, Brinley, and he talks about her in his little speech, so I'm going to just give you a heads up and let you watch her for a minute.
Ready, go!
Jesus came to earth as a baby. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for us. He was buried. He rose from the dead. And that's the gospel!
Is she precious or what? This is the one that I was letting them listen to. She sent me her voice, a prayer. She sent me a prayer recorded yesterday for this weekend. So she's very special to me. After she did that, she was sharing that with everybody. She had one of those bracelets with the different beads on it that represented a different part of the gospel story. And so my papa was very moved by how simple she made it, this little girl. So he kind of starts with that. And I guess I'm ready. Let's go ahead and I'll let y'all listen to him for a minute.
I really don't feel as bad as I look walking up here. My knees are shaky, but I want to tell you that I have not felt bad. I've not had a headache. I felt good all over. And I've not been sick at all. And so this isn't a give up talk. I just want to share some things with you that I have thought about here. Well, first I want to share some things that I didn't put in the letter here. I told the elders I wanted about 8 minutes, but I added a couple. One of the things was that my great granddaughter, who is not yet 4 years old, and I want to just share this with you. She had a little bracelet deal and had pictures on it around about Christ and his birth and his burial, his resurrection, and his for 80, well, for however many years, probably not 80, but I've thought, you know what? To if the creation is like we like it says in the Bible, and I said if, and I shouldn't have been saying that at all. It is. I guarantee you it is. She said, but twice last Tuesday, they came with us down and then went to Pine Praise with us and that afternoon. And then before she left that night, she came back and she went over that bracelet with me and she said, and Papa, and he's buried in that and he raised and he went to prepare a place for you. He's going to come back for you. And she said, and that's the gospel of Christ. that's powerful. And she taught me a lesson. I always said, well, if it perchance wasn't right, it's the best life you could live anywhere, anytime. But here about a month ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and 6 tumors on my brain. And that sounded a bit like a death sentence. And I've since changed my mind, and it's really an exciting time. Had that not happened, I probably wouldn't have asked the elders if I could have this time to do the shepherd's blessing. And so I just want to thank the elders for giving me this few minutes here. After that occurred, I went home and just started talking to the Lord. And I think it was about 9-10 o'clock at night or something. And we talked till after 6 next morning. And I told the elders I'd like to condense that 8-hour talk into 8 minutes. The scriptures tell us that God cannot be tempted. God does not tempt us. However, he does put detours on our route in order to accomplish his predetermined mission. And Lord, I thank you for your detour on my route, my bump in the road. And over in James, first chapter, said that, count it all blessings, brother, when you suffer for the cause of Christ, because that brings about perseverance. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. If you want the real translation, you have to get Janna's kids. They quote it. one of the most notable detours was that 430-year through Egypt. And without going into a lengthy detail, I want to share some of my thoughts. And it's hard to cut that down, but these are just some things that really stood out to me that night as we talked. And you don't have to agree with me. In fact, you can say, Roland, I think cancer got too deep in your brain. If you don't agree, try to do it with thoughtful consideration and love and in good conscience. Whatever you do, don't violate your conscience. You follow your conscience, but educate your conscience and ask you why my conscience is this way. Like Paul, when before the Sanhedrin court there in Acts 23 said, he acted in all good conscience. And I wish I could say that, but I can't. Peter was, he was led by his conscience there at first, but felt it more expedient to impress the Jewish brethren later when Paul confronted him concerning that, and he had even led some of the others to off. But and so we have examples of those did all in all good conscience and those that did not do it all good conscience. And so, and I'm in the latter group. There are many perceived issues, such as, are you offended by instrumental music? I'm not. I love cappella music. But I don't think any soul will be won or lost by instrumental music, but by the gospel of Christ. Raising hands, praise teams, and we can just go on and on and on. And naming these things, it's the gospel of Christ is where we're going to be saved or lost. not on these issues. In fact, I don't think we'll have a Church of Christ section there in heaven. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Mother Teresa there. And if she's not there, probably not because she's not there, but because Roland's not there.
When someone spends 8 hours talking to Jesus, I feel like I should share that. what God enlightened him with that night. One of the things that he says was to act in accordance with your conscience, but to educate your conscience, which I thought was so wise. I miss him. I miss his wisdom, and his relationship with God was powerful for me growing up. So, if you have people like this in your lives who are walking so closely to Christ that they can spend 8 hours in a conversation, please share what they are learning with the rest of us. Keep that relationship solid. Keep learning from those people. Every once in a while, I like to just evaluate, who are my mentors? Who are the people that I can see you? I can see that you have a close walk with Christ. It is evidenced in your life. You're bearing fruit in every good work. That kind of spiritual wisdom, I need to be around. I need to spend more time with these people. How to walk like Christ. Number one, we have to know Christ. Knowing Christ is our best way to walk like him. So we have to read. We have to read Christ. We have to be in the whole Bible. Read the whole Bible through the lens of what you know about the life of Christ. After you know Jesus, going back to the Old Testament and reading more about the what led up to Christ through what we know about Jesus, we can see what he came to redeem. We can see the lostness of a people and the fulfillment of a promise when Jesus came. Reading the New Testament through the lens of Christ is powerful. Seeing how the apostles dealt with churches, and all the time keeping in our minds what Jesus showed us through his example is a powerful way to walk like Christ. Number two, bear witness. Through every twist of your path, be prepared to bear witness of the gospel, to speak of what Christ has saved you from, and what Christ has saved you for. Remember how simple the gospel message is. Jesus loves me, and I live daily for him. Number three, offer your body as a living sacrifice, daily surrendering our hearts and our bodies, yielding ourselves so that he can continue to work through us. Knowing that the temptation in every moment is to be swept away by our evil desires. We are human. But being able to stop and identify, my temptation to gossip about that friend is an evil desire. My temptation to tell a lie to make my life easier right now is an evil desire. Being able to stop and identify those moments when being human is not a friend to us, but walking closely to Christ, we can fight those moments. Number four, always choose the fruits of the Spirit. In those moments of temptation, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those are our friends. My coworker is on my last nerve because she's taking all the credit for my ideas, but I can choose love. One of my kids' teachers is just making his life miserable, and I'm going to have to deal with it, but I can choose self-control. That car just cut me off, and I'm about to give him the evil eye, but I can choose kindness. Make your choices deliberately, identifying which fruit of the Spirit you choose. When we are walking worthy, so back to that verse in Colossians, spiritual wisdom leads to living a life worthy of the Lord. When we are living that life, remember there will be this evidence of that. The evidence in our life will be that we're bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and we're being strengthened with endurance. Thank you, God, because we're going to need it. And we're also joyfully giving thanks. Of course we are. And that's why James could say, consider it joy. Because you know that that test will give you more endurance. He was filled with spiritual wisdom. That is why when I hear Papa say, thank you for the detours. Thank you for my bump in the road. It humbles me. That's spiritual wisdom, to be able to say thank you for this, because I'm walking closer to you because of it. Whew. I just want to bless you guys for staying with me through this. This is hard stuff. Some of you are going through something really hard, and I've been listening to a couple of things. And maybe it's over and it's just a story in your past. Maybe it's you're in the ringer right now. Sometimes it's daunting because we look at what we're charged to walk through. And we look at the gifts, our shoes, our personality that we are given to walk in. And we look at the standard. The standard is Jesus. The standard is holiness. And we think, not going to happen. I'm never going to make it. It sometimes makes people want to quit walking. But I want to share a poem with you that, in fact, my boss's husband wrote. She was our former principal. She's now at a different school than I am, but very godly people, just desperate to walk close to Jesus. Anyway, she shared this by her husband, so I'm going to share it with you. It's called Stairway to Heaven. His name is Ty Cobb, but he's not the famous Ty Cobb. He quotes here, "And she's buying the stairway to heaven." End quote. For many in this culture, the Christian walk is like the Led Zeppelin rock classic, Stairway to Heaven. We see our initial salvation experience as a chance to now climb the stairs. We give our life to Christ and we buy the stairway to heaven. And now the work begins. Step after step, climbing, ever climbing. Each new book, every sermon, every well-meaning Christian friend tells us about another step we need to climb. We have to climb. Soon, that initial ecstasy of knowing our sins were forgiven and we are accepted by our glorious Father is replaced by weariness. No matter how many steps we take, when we look ahead, all we see is what seems to be an infinite number of steps. But we carry on because of the promise of being closer to God, of experiencing His presence, of more answers to prayer, of obtaining a new anointing, of finally doing enough. The twins of distance and delay keep us trudging along. You're not close enough to God yet, but you will be. Just keep climbing. You haven't arrived yet, but you're getting closer. Don't stop. Keep going. Soon, this walk with Father that started as a skip and a frolic becomes a monotonous chore. No matter how well you perform, how good you do, how much you pray, how long you study, how much you try to do for the kingdom, there's always more to do. No matter how high you jump, the bar is set just a little bit higher. You can't reach it, and you still haven't arrived. Some just can't take it anymore, and they sit down and decide to live on the staircase. Others, in anger, or more likely in hurt, decide to descend the staircase, never to return. However, many, maybe most, continue on. One more step. Just one more step. They trudge on, their heads hanging low, shoulders sagging, lifting each foot a battle. But I just can't quit. If you're feeling this weariness, the weariness of the stairway to heaven, I have a secret. Don't tell anyone. The minute you said yes to Jesus, the second you believed the good report, the minute you trusted in His finished work on the cross, you were immediately, instantaneously, automatically, effortlessly placed at the top of the staircase and seated, yes, seated with Him in the heavenly realms. You don't have to ascend the mountain of the Lord. It is your permanent dwelling place. You don't have to struggle with the steps to being a good Christian, a good parent, a good friend, a good minister, a victorious Christian, an overcomer. You've already taken the one step into Christ. And now His life has become your life. His accomplishments have become your accomplishments. His righteousness becomes your righteousness, and His holiness, your holiness. You have already arrived. It's time for a feast, not a fast. It is time for rest, not wrestling. Rest in Him. Rest in what He accomplished on your behalf. He climbed the stairway. He suffered the cost. He accomplished the impossible on your behalf. So spend your days in glorious friendship and love with the lover of your soul. Don't ever take another step to get closer to God. He is as close as your own heart. Now, just walk with Him, hand in hand, exploring and delighting in the garden of pleasure as He lives His life through you. That is the Christian life. Wasn't that good? I was just, I love that. I have one more story, and I forgot to tell you I was going to tell this story about her cousin. I grew up with asthma. I didn't struggle with it past college. I think somewhere in college I grew out of it or something. I didn't need help with it anymore. But as a elementary school, middle school, high school, whew, I hated running. I still hate running because it hurt. It hurt me so bad. I could never figure out how to regulate my breathing, my back, my sides. It did not take me a block and a half to feel like, this is for the birds. I am not doing this. So I do not understand runners as a demographic. But I have friends that are avid runners, every day, multiple miles, and they don't, like if I did that, you would all hear about it. I'd be bragging about it all the time. And it's just how they start their day. It's part of their lifestyle. One particular runner made a big impression on me. When we went on a couple's trip to Breckenridge, Wesley's cousin came. His name is Miles, and he's a student at the Colorado School of Mines. So there were three couples and Miles, and we were in the suburban out to dinner one night, I think, and he was a very shy, quiet kid. And he only really participated in conversation if he was asked a direct question. So trying to be friendly, even though I'm not sure he liked the attention at all, we started asking him all these questions about himself. And we found out shortly he is a runner, which already puts him in a category of people that I don't get. But the more questions we asked, the more clear it became that even in the category of runners, Miles was a different kind of runner. Our conversation went a little bit like this. I tried to kind of script this out. So the group. So do you run every day? Miles. Pretty much. About how far do you run? I don't know. It's different every time. But like closer to a mile or closer to 10 miles? Probably closer to 10. Where do you run? All over. Like on a track, in the gym, cross country. Oh, I guess mostly cross country stuff. So how long are most of your runs? I don't know. I don't wear a watch or anything. So you don't keep track of your pace? No. But you usually run around 5 miles? I guess so. Okay, so about how long does it take to run the 5 miles? I don't know. Well, do you leave for your run at the same time every day? Like, let's say you left your apartment at 7. What time do you usually get back? I don't know. It's always different. Well, do you feel like an hour has gone by? Like, if you look at the sun... And at this point, we're like telling each other, stop, he said he doesn't know. Leave him alone, poor kid. Oh, and then this happened. What kind of shoes do you wear? Well, I have, you know, this and this, but sometimes I just run barefoot. Oh, we don't have any follow-up questions after that. Because it is clear that he has come, this kid is organic to the tune of no watch, no shoes. He's not training for a marathon. He's not keeping track of his calories. He is just running because he loves running. It's foreign to me. I really honestly don't get it. But this is my charge for us. When we walk with God, I just pray that we can come to a place like that, a place where it's organic, it's natural. We don't complain about our shoes. We're not picky about our path. We just want to walk with Him because He is beautiful and loves us and saved us. The one who saved our life, we just want to walk with Him in a way that pleases Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You again for bringing me up here and these amazing sisters that I've met. I'm so just overjoyed, overwhelmed with gladness and peace that we are connected in a way that is eternal. And I pray a special blessing over this congregation and the ones represented here today, that these women are able to go back with a renewed sense of their gifts, the shoes that they're in, the way that You have designed them on purpose, for a purpose. And I pray that we are able to come to that place, trials, smooth sailing, whatever is going on, where we're just walking. We're just walking with our beautiful Savior, hand in hand, in a way that looks like Christ. Thank You, God, for saving us and for walking with us. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much.